try to answer them by the gift of God. Whatever question you ask, I believe that the Lord will give me the answer to give you. Okay? It's a deal. You're going to ask questions. Okay?
Okay.
Right. So we'll have the word, and then we go right into the questions. We begin with Isaiah chapter 7. We begin at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Verse 15. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Praise God. We go on to verse 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that a man shall nourish a young cow and two sheep. And it shall come to pass for the abundance of milk that they shall give, he shall eat butter. For butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. Praise be to God. It would be a very simple thing to spend all our money to get butter. And like Joy, we could keep bees. And when we eat the butter and the honey, we would be able to refuse the evil and choose the good. Nobody smiles. Amen. If somebody said that my Bible is just what it says, I'm going to obey the Bible just what it says. Okay. If you're going to accept the Word of God without interpretation, then you would go out and you'd get yourself a cow, and you would go and get yourself bees, and start eating butter and honey, and then you'd know everything that you wanted to know about choosing good and refusing evil. But because the Bible is a spiritual book, and because a spiritual book means spirit, needs spiritual understanding, God said it is spiritually discerned. That means the carnal man is at a loss in the Bible. Amen. I noticed that the Reader's Digest have gone into the Bible business. They have made a new Bible, and they feel that it's going to bless people no end. Well, it's not going to do any good, because it was done for a carnal purpose by carnal people, and they have no idea of what the Bible really says. Amen. The things they cut out is what they should have left in. See what I mean? They don't know what they're doing. In other words, the Bible is not a natural book. You dare not take it natural. If you take it natural, it turns you upside down. Here we are being told that we must eat butter and honey, and we are going to have to ask God, what is the meaning of it? Because it started out with, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name God with us. See, God with us. We say Jesus, the Jew says Yahshua, and you know, it means the same thing in every language. It's the same meaning, God with us. Now, he said here that this man will eat butter and honey, and he would know to refuse the evil and to choose the good. What is butter and what is honey? Because surely it's not the natural butter and honey. Now, if you take the natural, anytime you get a type, you take the type, analyze it, and you find out what we're talking about. Natural butter is the very cream from the milk. There is no way you can build a sturdy Christian spiritual life without the milk of the Word of God. In other words, you must have a foundation. When you feed a baby on milk, you're actually building a foundation. We used to have the calves, and we would take the young calves, and we would take the mother's milk. You see, with mother's milk coming out the first day, the second day, that is very important for the calf. And we would put additives to it and mix it and put your finger in it and let the calf start sucking your finger, and then you teach him how to suck. And those calves would grow twice the size because we would pull more milk from the mother than the calf would pull. And we forced him to feed. And praise be to God, we're talking about, therefore, milk being the foundation of your gospel truth, the very milk of the word, which the people lack. Many an end time charismatic raising arms and praising God, and don't know the first rule of salvation and the love of God. They will not stop to put a foundation. I saw them doing a thing in Illinois, and I never seen it before. They're putting a foundation on their building. I mean, an old building, and they dug out on the there, and they were putting in a basement with a foundation underneath the building. It can be done. God's saying, if you started wrong, turn right back and get your foundation right. Because the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ is very important for you. If you turn your Bibles, just hold your finger in Isaiah, turn your Bibles around to Hebrews chapter 6. And we see there a foundation. Paul says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptism, of the laying on of hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. Do you know that some of the preachers of today are preaching contrary to these basic truths, which Paul says is the foundation? Well, let's leave it behind, and let's go on. See, now, I even heard someone preaching that Paul said you must leave it. Don't worry with it. Now, if you move your foundation, you have nothing, brother. If you have a building and you take out the foundation, you have nothing. That house is coming down. See, so praise be to God. Paul wasn't saying here, you must take out the foundation. It said, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us go on. Let us go on. And we are going to build upon these principles. So let's look at the foundation a little bit. It says here, the doctrine of repentance from dead works. Do you know that some people don't know what repentance is? Repentance has three movements. First, stop. You cannot repent and continue to do what you were doing. You have to stop. You have to make a godly decision to stop. Then, you have to make a decision to turn away. I don't want it. But you have to make a third decision to turn to God. There's only one turn that makes repentance complete, and that is the turn to God. If you turn away from the things you were doing, and you do not fill that vacuum in your life, that the thing that caused you to have been doing the wrong in the first place, you don't fill that vacuum with God, that vacuum will be filled right back with the very thing that you repented of. Right. And I have seen men repent of their repentance. Did you ever hear that? I've seen men repent of their repentance. They repented and then they turn around and said, well, they never did repent. It is very simple for you to fall back into the thing that you repented of. Very simple, very easy. You just don't let God fill that position, that thing. Every human being has needs. And the reason why we do some things is because we had some kind of need. You know, And if you don't fill that need with Christ, something in Christ will fill that need. If you don't fill that need with Christ, you're going right back into it. It's coming right back in and take its place. And Jesus describes it. He says that the evil spirit, when he leaves a man, he goes wandering through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. And he said, let me go back to my house. And he goes right back. And he says he takes with him seven spirits worse than himself. And he said the latter condition of that man is worse than the first. So for some people it's better they never repent. If they turn back on their repentance. Three movements in this repentance. It's a doctrine of baptisms. Baptisms mean death, burial, resurrection with Christ. And then he said a last thing here, the eternal judgment. Do you know that they have a big doctrine, well constituted teaching, that there is no eternal judgment? And they get into the word aeonion. And they say aeonion means for a time, for ages. And so one night I was in Michigan somewhere, Flint, Michigan. And some sisters invited me to the meeting, and I gave the word of the Lord, and after the word of the Lord, they invited me to sit down with them, and they begin. Right away, I know what they're coming with, so I just listen. And for 1 hour, they went through the Bible, and they showed me aeonion meaning for a time, aeonion meaning maybe. You know, maybe for a time. In some places it didn't express, they say, it's eternal. But the word means for ages of ages. See, and this is the word that the ancient people use in their language to mean everlasting. See what I mean? But they come and they show me all these words. And when they're finished, they said, do you believe what you've read? I said, yes. I believe. They said, then why aren't you preaching, this ultimate reconciliation? I said, because it's a lie. I said, you see, you only showed me all the scriptures that were doubtful, but you never showed me the one that says the eternal God. Do you mean that God is for a time? They couldn't answer. I said, you never showed me the one that says my eternal salvation. You want to tell me that my salvation is for a time? God promised me everlasting life. Do you want to tell me that John 3:16 is wrong? That he would give me eternal life? They said, and they couldn't answer. They could not answer. They were brainwashed by a big brain man from California too. Amen. And they could not answer. And this is the situation with people when you get a thing one-sided. I hate to have one-sided thinking people even in a meeting. I like people to think when the word of God go forth. You know what I mean? Think and question it. Don't swallow it. If you swallow it, you're a goner, because one day you're going to swallow poison. Oh yes. You know, some fish, when you go out fishing, they swallow hook, line and sinker. Whap! And you can feel the hit. Fisherman, you can feel the hit. You know what kind of fish is hitting your line, because he's swallowing hook, line and sinker. And he generally swallows a hook. You see what I'm saying? He must be caught, because he swallows up. Another fish goes around and he picks it and he examines it and he goes around. And sometimes he's smarter than you, he takes your bait and gone. You see? But God says that the clean animal chooses cud. And he wasn't talking about animals. Of course, some brethren say he was talking about animals so they don't eat pork. And they don't eat this, and they don't eat that. and say some is clean. But I know that anything you bless and say, God bless this, you can eat it. If you want to eat lizards or anything, that is all right if it's okay with your stomach. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, brother. So, praise be to God. Hallelujah. Leviticus 11 speaks about the clean animals and the unclean animals. And you know what it says about the clean animals? It says the clean animals have two characteristics. Three, should we say. He said they are cloven-footed. That means they have their hoofs covered up. They chew the cud, and their parted toe. They have three characteristics. Remember, that's not what I'm preaching about tonight, but I'm just giving you a little lesson here. They're like this. Parted toe, cloven, see, and what?
Chew.
Alright. Now, the parted toe means two, spirit. They walk by the spirit and by the word. Any man that is walking by spirit is in trouble. So believe me. Any man that the spirit says, the spirit says, the spirit says, what did the word say? Because the spirit agrees with the word. This is the balance we have. If a spirit comes and tells you to do something and a word didn't say so, don't do it. You hear me? You must be balanced in your walk. You know, this is why all the cults come in. You know, some big leader come along and tell you that God say you must do so and so. You don't examine it, you just do it because God says so. You know what I mean? And you keep on, and so they begin till one guy came up and he said, sister, you have no right to be hearing from God. He said you should hear from the elders. It turned into a cult. That's what we mean. So none of you should be caught in a cult if you are balanced in the word. Because you're going to question everything you hear. Now, this is entirely opposite to what some people are telling you. They say you mustn't question. Don't question the minister. When he says so and so, don't question. If the Bible says so, you don't question. Let me tell you something. This Bible, it's not every word in this Bible that applies to you. It's not every word that applies to you. And it's not every word that applies to you now. You follow what I mean? God can say a word here, and it may apply to you next year, or to the year after, or it applied in the past. But at this moment, there is a word for you. And we call that the Rhema. That is the word of God, which is the Logos. The word of God put down here, the Logos. Somebody, the Spirit of God, need to take it up and dish it out to you and give you the meal that you want. So when you are well grounded in the milk, you start chewing on a little meat. If I give you meat before you get the milk, you choke and die. Good meat, good food, but death to you. You see what I'm saying? It's just like you treat a child. You see, you have everything in the refrigerator, but you're not going to go and take anything out of that refrigerator and give that baby.
That's right.
The babe must get special food until it gets to a point. You give him more, and you give him a different food, and you give him a different food. So this is the way it is with the Word of God. You see, it's not everything that you can just take and say, this is mine, this is mine. I pick out piece here, pick out piece here. Otherwise, you will be using the word of God to do your own thing. Mm-hmm. Amen. I want to bash you over the head, so I get into the word and find some word which says, I must bash you. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to do you so and so, I get a word for it. And so I would be using the word of God instead of the Spirit using me. See, so here we are then. We find the parted hoof. The parted hoof, spirit and the word. The cloven hoof, your feet. You remember Paul said, your feet must be shod. Huh? With the preparation of the gospel of peace. You can't walk right You can't walk right unless you are well shod. Because you're walking on scorpions and serpents and thorns. Amen. Your feet has to be well shod. See, a man is going to play football, he's got his feet well shod. He's going to play another game, he's got his feet shod for that game. He's going to play ice hockey, he can't put on a football boot. See what I mean? You have to have your feet shod for the purpose for which you are going to operate. Now, chew the cud. And this is the one we're talking about tonight. When you get the word, you must think over it. Some people just come to church, come to a meeting, get a word, and that's where it dies. You have to go over the word. You have to chew your cud. You have to bring back the word to your remembrance, and you have to think over it. And God says that he will bring it to your remembrance. Amen. Whatsoever I have told you, I'll bring to your remembrance, said the Lord. So praise be to God. We see then that there is a necessary drinking of milk. Drinking of milk. Go back to Isaiah and read about the cow again. What was that, Isaiah? 7. Okay. Now it says that we must drink milk and then we must eat honey. What is honey? Honey is the concentration, the concentrated juice from flowers. Amen. And flowers in the Bible is always depicted as truths. If you have a dream that you see flowers, beautiful roses, it's speaking about the truth, the word of God. Now, the bee go, and the bees are the only animals that I know that have 3 different sex, or 2 sex and 1 non-sex, if you can put it that way. I don't know of any other animal that has a non-sex, a neutral.
The ants do.
The ants do have that too, okay. Well, you have a worker bee, and you have a drone. The drone is the male. Now, man, I'm not saying anything against you, okay?
D-R-O-N-E.
That's right, drone. All right. The drone is the male, and that drone does not do any work except the heat of his body lending heat to the hive. All he does is to inseminate the queen. And that happens once in a lifetime. And yet you'll see a lot of drones in a hive, because the drones keep the hive warm while the workers are going up and down, out and in. And so you have the drone, which is a male, and the workers are the neutral. See, and the queen is the female. Now, this is a type of the kingdom of God. This is a type of the kingdom of God. God is saying that the honey that these workers make They can travel 6 miles in a straight line and come back. They'll always find their home. And nobody knows how the bees find their home, because, you know, it may be a little box like this in a forest. And they'll fly dead straight right back to their home. And they'll take that juice out of the flower, the center of the flower, and they'll put the juice, pardon me, in the little comb, and they will suck the water out of the juice. Suck the water out of the juice and thicken it and thicken it and thicken it until it comes to honey, pure honey without water, and they seal it over and it remains there and cures and get cures. And God said, you will eat honey. You will eat honey and it will cause you to know to refuse the evil. Meaning to say, God is saying that if you feed upon the truth and you chew your cud and you get all the water out of the truth, amen, and leave the pure honey, you are going to be able to know good from evil. Some of our brethren don't know good from evil. They call evil good and good evil all the while. They can be deceived and cheated anytime. You get someone coming in here and he preaches a message and everybody gone after the new word. See, I've seen this happen in congregations all around the country. People do not know good from evil. They have no discernment. And God is saying that the people of God who come under Jesus Christ will be like Jesus Christ. They shall all, verse 22, and shall come to pass, for butter and honey shall everyone eat that is left in the land. God is speaking about the remnant of his people. There is a church coming forth. There is a people who will know good from evil, who will be able to discern between good and evil. Turn your Bibles with me just a few pages to chapter 28. And God was lamenting the condition of Israel. And I believe the condition of Israel at that time is the same condition we have now. Verse 8. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. God is speaking about vomit and filth. Yes. 28:8. You see. All tables, God said, are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. I don't see anything, a word more appropriate, hallelujah, for this time, more appropriate than this word. That, you see, when the worker bee comes in loaded with honey, he brings it up. Oh yes, he brings it up into the thing, and then they pull out all the impurities out of it and leave the pure honey. So it is a kind of bringing something up out of its own stomach, amen, to feed the other people. So when we eat honey, we eat a digested food, already previously digested food. So, amen, good food, brother. So we, I'm not turning you off from honey, mind you. Now, God is saying that when you receive the word, if you can't walk in the word, if you can't live by it, why should you give it to somebody else?
See? That's right.
In other words, we are actually bringing up back the food and feeding it to God's people. And God's people said the tables are full of vomit. And vomit is actually a sour stomach, undigested food. You see, The bee digested the thing and bring it up. But this is undigested food that we are actually feeding, that many people are feeding to one another. As I spoke about the doctrine, the new doctrine that came in a couple of days while I'm traveling here, I've run into this doctrine. It split one church over there, and you know, it been going around, and somebody over there tells me that they've been hit by it. Pardon me. That this brother, great theologian, came out with a new doctrine that the Bible is not the Word of God. That some parts of the Bible are not God's word. You see, now, when he came out with that, of course, you have heard that before. But for a man of his stature, in our generation, one of the greatest living theologians, right, to come forth with a thing like that, he just knocked the little ones off their seats. You see, and it brings a pain. To you, it brings a pain to you to know that the priest and the prophet is out of the way. Here it is. Yeah. See. But they have all erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet, verse 7, have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. So God wasn't talking about natural drunkenness. He was talking about spiritual drunkenness, where men feel so big that they've got to such a point and they begin to stumble in judgment. Not stumble naturally, err and stumble in judgment. So God, hallelujah, is speaking about filthiness in the church. Filthiness in the church. People being fed stale food. I did not walk in that food, and yet I take it and I'm giving it to you to eat. Amen. Something that made me give me indigestion, and I give it to you to eat. This is what God saw. Listen, he's going to put a cure. Listen to the cure. Whom shall we teach knowledge? And whom shall we make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast.
Amen.
Amen. Don't teach him knowledge until you take him off milk. Knowledge will kill you. Knowledge will kill you if you have not been weaned from the milk and drawn from the belt, from the breast. Too much knowledge. Come, brethren, let us teach you about demonology. You know, let us teach you about spirits. Let us teach you about this. Let us teach you about that. What you want is milk.
That's right.
Make sure your milk teeth are okay. And then you begin to get a little meat.
Hallelujah.
And I believe that the bodies, the groups, should begin to give out milk.
Amen.
Make sure, go back, like the people I've been telling you about, who dig under the house and prop the house up and have a foundation being put underneath it. You see, I am asking you to go back on the foundations. Get back those foundation tapes. Sit down with them. Analyze them. Check them over. Check the scriptures. Make sure they're right. Then you swallow them. You know the cow. It's what? 4 stomachs he has? Spiritually, you are a cow, you know. No offense. Just a pretty cow. God is saying, hallelujah. You must eat. Bring it up. Examine it. Take it in. Take it up. Examine it. Take it in. Take it up. Until it becomes flesh.
Yes.
If you cannot walk in a thing, don't listen to it.
Right.
That doctrine is not yours.
Right.
Every doctrine that you receive should be something that can strengthen you to live.
That's right.
Amen.
And make you an overcomer. Because I tell you something, there are things that you're going to have to overcome.
Amen.
There are some wicked circumstances waiting for us outside there that we have to face it and overcome it. And look, look, just look around you. Look how many people are being shattered.
Amen.
Husbands and wives being torn apart. You know, all manner of things happening. Some people are swearing they would never marry again. They take a girlfriend and go off. Whereas, you know, we used to think that it were the uneducated base of people who used to do those things. Nowadays, everybody's doing it. Amen? Because, of course, Hollywood starts doing it, and they call it respectable. But I don't know how I could respect such a person, to be honest with you. I don't personally have any respect for those people who do these things. Amen. I believe that people should be respectable. And I believe that God gave us spirit, soul, and body in order that we might not be beasts and animals. Oh, yes. Amen. I believe that your spirit lifts you up and make you like God. Amen. I believe your spirit divides you, separates you from being a low-down animal.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And I believe that I have seen men doing some things that I've never seen any animals do. Because I love animals. I used to work with animals. For years I worked with animals. And I never see animals do certain things. But I see men do it. See, so praise be to God.
Yes.
Amen. He said, whom then shall we teach knowledge? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. You know why? Verse 10. Because precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. I believe Isaiah was a carpenter.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know why? What he means by precept must be upon precept? You want to build a house. And the first thing you do, you go down to the city and you get, just find out what the city ordinances are. Amen. You're going to have to take out a permit. Therefore, you make a drawing. And you show them what you're going to do. And the inspector takes the drawing and he makes some red ink marks on it. And says, so and so and so and so. Garage must be 4 inches below floor, finished floor must be so many inches above so and such a place. You know, board, you must have pressure treated wood touching concrete. Why? Termites, that's all. You don't want any termites to come in there, so you have to have pressure treated here and there and there and there, and you get the precepts.
Right.
You get the laws that govern the building.
Right.
And you say, oh, church, I'm going to do all these laws, but I'm not going to call the inspector. And you board up and put up everything, and beautiful house, and the inspector comes and says, take it down. Take it down. I want to see that foundation.
Right.
You have to dig it down. I know a man had to dig down his house. Because he went and put it up without inspection. They have to, well, I don't know about here, but in Florida, they have to inspect the dirt. They have to inspect the dirt before you put it on. After they inspect the ground, you have to get the ground bug treated. And they have to inspect it that you have got the ground bug treated. And they put you on so many, and you have so many inspections. Everything you do, you lay down your steel, your matting, they have to come and inspect it before. So it's precepts we are talking about. God says there are certain laws that govern our Christianity, our Christian living. We can't just rush off and say we're Christians. You have to submit to those laws. One of the laws is repentance. The law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You have to have a repentant heart. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. You got something against that girl, and you run to God and say, Jesus, forgive me and make me one of your sweet children. He says, no. No, I can't do it. You go and forgive her first. Why? Simple. The same place, the same capacity that you are going to use within your heart to receive forgiveness is the same one that you use to give forgiveness.
That's right.
So if you think you are going to receive any forgiveness, you with that closed, with your heart closed against your sister, you're making a sad mistake.
That's right.
You see what I mean? And God don't tell you all this. He just gives you the law. So God says, precept must be upon precept. You know, I'm just letting out tales out of school. You know, when I tell you that the reason why you can't receive forgiveness is because you can't give it, you don't give it. But God, all God says is, he said, you won't be forgiven if you don't forgive. And it worse than that, he tells you that you must pray that. If you know that the Lord's Prayer says you must pray to God and tell him mustn't forgive you unless you forgive your brother. And isn't that something? The brothers ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he tell them to pray that God must not forgive them unless they forgive one another. Yes, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. Meaning to say, if we don't forgive them that trespass against us, don't forgive us. You see, I'm always reading the Bible in the converse, because you seem to get more out of it in the converse than when you just read it straight. Oh yeah. You know, thy kingdom come. Just that, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What's it saying? It said that thy kingdom has not yet come. If God tells you to pray that, it means that the kingdom has not yet come. You turn the thing in the converse, you see that what God is saying, that where you are praying the kingdom to come, the kingdom has not yet come there. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know that's not being done. That the will of God is not being done in this earth like it is done in heaven. And you want it so. So, you understand then that God is speaking to us here and saying that line must be upon line and precept must be upon precept. So when you are building a building, you must build line over line, and you must have it well lined out. For with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to this people to whom he said, this is the red. Now it seems to me that all of a sudden he went off on a tangent, did it? Did it seem that to you? That he was going along nicely and then all of a sudden he just go off? Huh? Mm-hmm. Is that what happened? No. That didn't happen. Because it's relevant. What he said is relevant. You see, that with stammering lips and another tongue will I speak to these people to whom he said, this is the rest, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost will bring you into that eating of line upon line, precept upon precept, eating, drinking of milk and eating of meat. So, the people who don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, who don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, should seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost so that they might be able to come in. Because he said, unless you do that, you won't come into this rest. This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. He said, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backwards and be broken and snared and taken. And if you run down there, it tells you that Jesus Christ, in the midst of the congregation, became a stumbling block. Can you understand that? Verse 16. Somebody read that for me. Verse 16.
Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste.
Amen. Praise God. Do you know what happened in the building of the Temple of Solomon? They cut the cornerstone. They were making square stones, apparently. And they cut a stone that didn't have the right shape. and I sent it down to the builder. And the builders threw it away. They threw it away. Said, I goofed. I made a mistake. And so they kept on building. And you know, each stone was sent like a jigsaw puzzle that fitted into the other stone. And so they put this jigsaw puzzle together, and all of a sudden they realized that a peculiar shaped space was left out. And that space was the cornerstone that was to tie the whole building. You see? And they had to go look for the stone they had thrown away. And so the parable came in Israel, the chief stone of the corner was rejected. Just exactly what happened to Jesus. The churches today are rejecting Jesus. Some churches are rejecting Jesus for their pastor. Now, would you believe that? Some churches put the pastor in the place where Jesus Christ should be. Because Jesus is the shepherd of the body. Jesus is the person who should lead the body into all truths and all righteousness. And many people will not allow Jesus to reign in a congregation because they need to be preeminent. I don't know if you notice, you get a choir to sing and somebody's voice is on top of the whole choir. You have to tone them to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. Now you know plumb line. Those of you who knows about a plumb line, hang like this, and anything that hangs like this is dead straight. And you push the building to the plumb line. You know, you have a building, and the building is lean. The building leans like this, but the plumb line is straight. So you correct the building, and you correct it until it gets straight with the plumb line. See, so the plumb line, God says, is Jesus Christ. And God said that Jesus Christ in the church is a plumb line whereby everybody will straighten up themselves according to Jesus, not according to the leader, not according to the elder, not according to the minister, not according to the teacher, but according to Jesus. So the plumb line then is telling us that there is something lean. Something is not put right, you see. And when you talk about eat milk, drink milk and eat honey, that you may know good from evil and evil from good, it simply means that if we behave right toward the Word of God and the Spirit of God, we can't go wrong. God's going to correct us every time. In the congregation, the right relationship, the divine order, husband and wife at home, that's divine order. Husband, wife, children, divine order. In the church, the divine order is again set up. God said male and female. Male Jesus, female church. Male Jesus, female church. You know, we were amused the other day. We were reading the Bible, and we saw Paul saying, let the young women stay at home and take care of the house. And so on and so forth. Of course, you know, the women's lib is against that. You know, they would tear out that piece of Bible and throw it away, you see. But if they really knew what it meant, they wouldn't tear it out, you see. When I was looking up the word that they translated, stay at home, it's the word foreman, the word for house foreman or house boss. Let the young women be house boss. Let the young women be house foreman. So you understand the position then between the church and Jesus Christ. Jesus put you as a foreman, but you mustn't take over the whole works. A foreman only is to do what orders he gets. He can't go and say, he's going to change the building here and change the building there, and every little foreman and the job start changing. Next thing you have piece of the building out there and piece over the other pasture.
Right.
See, you have to have the foreman working under the head And the head give the orders, and there is the plan, and they work by the plan. And if a change is to be made, then the contractor has to make that change with the engineer. Amen. So it is Jesus Christ in the body, the divine order in the church. The Jesus the man, the church the woman. Then you have the house foreman, the elders. Amen. Working in the church. So, praise be to God. We see then that this word about milk and honey is taking us to a point where we understand that there is a balance in the Word of God that gives you a perspective of understanding so that you can know good from evil. Otherwise, brethren, you don't know good from evil. This world is so terrible. What's going on now is horrible. Ask these young girls. You know, ask these young girls. They go to college. Let them tell you what happened out there on the campus. Sometimes they have to pose like they are worldly too, or else they get zapped. The other girls attack them and they live a miserable life. I know it is a horrible thing out there, you know. According to what I understand from some of the young people, it is worse than when we were kids. That the kids now have to face horror, see, because we have had young girls going from our congregation, and they go out there and they shack up with somebody because of the pressure that took them, and they never were taught that. They were against that when they left home, but after they go to college for 3 years, they fall into line. You see, and it's the pressure that is out there that is making it so hard for them. They depart from the plumb line. But God is saying here in verse 20, the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself in, and the covering narrower than he can wrap himself in. Have you ever been in such a position? You get into a bed and your feet hang down over the bed. Especially if it has a cold iron rail. You know. If it has the rail, you stretch out and zap. The cold rail touch your foot, and you kind of wake up and haul up. And when you haul up, the cover goes off you because it's narrow. And so you keep pushing and hauling all night, hauling cover, and twist this way, and your shoulder is out, and you twist the other way, and the other shoulder is out, and you stretch out, and you touch the iron, and you draw back up. And all night, God says, no rest. It's torment. You look at the picture in verse 20. He says, no rest. Just you down in verse, let's see now, verse 20 speak of the no rest, but verse 12 speak of the rest. This is the rest, he said, wherewith we may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But verse 20 said that in some places there is no rest. See, now, if you turn your Bible then around to Hebrews 4. You see, we started out with butter and honey. Knowing good, refusing evil. And then we're here now with Hebrews 4, which speaks about rest. Let us therefore fear lest any promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. So it is possible as a Christian to fall short of the rest which God has ordained for you. And this rest is in the Holy Ghost. Let's look at it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. And we run right down and verse 9. Somebody read that for me.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Now, I'm not talking about when you die. You know, some people say you get your rest when you die and go to heaven. But I'm not talking about that type of rest. I'm saying that here there is a rest ordained of God for the people of God. looks good from your side, doesn't it?
I need a phone number.
Hallelujah. Let's do it better. All right. Good. Now that's a little better. But unless I had a plumb line, I wouldn't be able to do right. Okay. Now, God speak about the Sabbath rest. The natural Sabbath was what? Call it Saturday. No, sir. Tell me why I said no, sir. There's no such thing in the Bible. Seventh day. Somebody said it. Seventh day. See, now, the seventh day was given to the Israelites, and many of them were killed because they didn't rest on the seventh day. And you wonder what kind of law could be so hard, you know, and so rough. A man go out there and pick up a little piece of stick and they stone him to death. You know, it was a rough situation. And you wonder what kind of law is this and why was it necessary? Then when you begin to look into what Christ is saying, you understand that God had to teach them that law, grow it into them, so that we would understand the importance of the Sabbath. Now, that was a natural Sabbath. But when Jesus came, Jesus brought in the spiritual Sabbath. So the spiritual Sabbath was the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you don't need to worry. Unfortunately, we do worry. I'm begging you, don't worry. Don't worry over anything. Death facing you, smile. The Holy Spirit is here. He's got everything in charge. You know, nothing's going to happen. Did you know that? God wants you to rest so completely in the Holy Spirit that you just don't make anything bother you. I wonder if you can get that. The rest in the Holy Spirit, the more total the rest is, the more powerful God works on your behalf. Oh, yes. Huh? The more total your rest in the Holy Spirit is, the more powerfully God works on your behalf. That is, when it comes to miracles, God will give you a miracle every day if you just relax and believe Him. There's nothing. He said, all things are possible, what? To them that believe. Now, this is a law of God. I mean, I have seen so many impossible things in my life that there's no way that I can even think that I could doubt. You cannot doubt. You name it. You name it. I've seen a woman brought in a chain, tied up from her feet right to her shoulders, tied with rope, men tire. And the men brought her up into service. We had a service by the road, like the road out there, and they brought her right up. Door was wide open, people sit down there, and they put her down. They didn't say a word to me. I looked at the man and I said, loose her. And the man stepped out backward like this, as if he saw a ghost. And I started loosing her, and those men moved. And they got to their car and they started the car. And they stood there with one foot inside the car, looking out for her to explode. And by the time we loosed her right up to her head, she was healed. You just believe God.
She was literally
tied up. Oh, man, she was tied up with a rope.
Yeah.
Because she was mad. It took many men to tie her. And when I loosed her, they thought she was going to tear up that meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and said, Brother DeSille, thank you. And she was a little embarrassed that she had disturbed the meeting. And so she turned around and picked up her rope and... Oh. Praise be to God. Simple things like that. But We see it happen right there before everybody. We have seen more than that. We've seen the dead raised. We have seen down in Illinois, their sister got her leg busted in three pieces here and her shin bone wide open. Doctors say, no, amputate. She said, no, God's going to heal it. They drove her out of the hospital. She came into service like this, pain. Lay hands on it. She got up and danced around the room. Went to the doctor next day. They don't find any broken bones. No man, no bro. See, I mean, now why could you, after you see all this, could you ever doubt God that you rest in Him? You hear me? There are things that try to disturb our rest. You have to look out for that. Oh, quick, get out, girl, so and so. You know, people come, excite you, this, that, the other. You don't worry. Praise God. My God is in charge. If you can ever rest in the Holy Ghost, nothing on earth move you. You are a winner. You hear me? You practice it. It's something, you chew your cud and practice it. Remember this rest, you go practice it. The full rest, the fullness of rest will come in the third dimension when we get into the millennium. See, 1,000 years, Jesus Christ is coming down to earth to reign here, and then we will know what rest really is. That's the Sabbath. That's the seventh day of God. And the whole earth shall be at rest. But in the meantime, let us learn to rest. You see, those who have the Holy Ghost and break the Sabbath, enter into the breaking of the Sabbath under the law of the breaking of the Sabbath, just like the Jews under the natural Sabbath. You see what I'm saying? A case that comes before me is the case of Becky. Many of you might have read it in the in our magazine some time ago. We published a story of Becky. Becky was is a friend of ours, one of the sisters from one of the groups in Illinois. And she was driving along one day, and a truck cut right before her, and she was trying to pass the truck. And the truck turned right before her, and she went right under the truck. Totally demolished the car, and her brain was scattered all over the car. And the thing was so mangled that nobody could imagine anybody could come out of that alive. She was taken to the hospital. The doctor said, it's a bad case. He said, it's just impossible. He said, just impossible. Part of her brain is missing. It's impossible. She can't make it. If she even lives, she's a vegetable for the rest of her life. Becky just graduated out of college and is teaching down there. We just left our house a couple of days ago. The brethren went and prayed. And listen, when she came out of the hospital, she was still partially paralyzed, one side. And she walked lightly. And Becky's walking now with her both hands and walking and praising God. Amen. You see, you need to believe God, brethren. Because this is nothing, this is a slight flick of the finger for God. This is not anything great. For God, it's just, He made you, He can remake you. He can pull you down like a piece of old machinery and put you up back together. See, and if we can believe that, then we can start trusting our lives and our fortunes into the hand of the Holy Ghost. Right. Amen. And butter and honey shall he eat. Know the basics about God. What God will do. What God wants to do for His people. God wants to make you the cream of the crop. God wants you to win. God is not a loser. God wants every one of you to win. All we need to do is to believe Him. He said, if you're not even righteous, you can count faith for righteousness. If you believe God, He will count it for righteousness. Don't you understand? You can't go about saying, I am going to be righteous because I will pray in the morning and I'll pray at midday and I'll pray at night, so I'm going to be righteous. That's not going to make you righteous. What's going to make you righteous is believing God. Believe God, first of all, that He can do it. He can make you righteous.
Right.
Praise be to God. Amen. I mean, I can tell you a lot more stories, but, you know, I think that's enough for tonight. Enough stories. But This word, I just want to make it short and good. I don't want it to get too long, you know? Believe me, brethren. Believe, choose the good and refuse the evil. And the only way you can have that balance in your life where you can know good from evil is when you have a foundation in God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God balance you. Over too much spirit and you run off into fanaticism. Yes, you become a fanatic. The Spirit said, this Spirit hit you, that Spirit hit you. You don't know God different from the devil. I told a friend the other day, I said, you're talking about you never heard the devil. Oh, the devil doesn't speak to me. If you never heard the devil, you never heard God. How you know the difference? Huh? How you know it's God speaking to you if you never heard the devil? Hallelujah. You see what I'm saying? The devil speaks to you, and the devil has been speaking to us a long time. And we better recognize his voice and know when the devil is speaking and when God is speaking. And this is the balance that we need in the Spirit and the Word. Read the Word of God, believe the Word of God, and you will get that balance. God bless you. Now it's your time to ask all the questions. Yes.
I'm really blessed by your word, because the day Gene and I were talking about concerning our kids' names and the scripture about the butter and the honey. We were talking about it, and I told you, I said, well, the honey is something that's already been partially digested.
Yeah.
So we need to give the kids. And the Lord showed me something about the butter. Like you said, it's the cream. They take the cream. But more so than that, when they make the butter, they churn it. And then they have to take it and they wash it. And they wash it and they wash it. And they continue to wash it. And they keep washing and washing and washing. I guess you wash butter about 5 or 6 times.
Oh, yeah. That's where the dye spot comes off the buttermilk.
If you do that, then butter can sit out. It doesn't spoil. And honey doesn't spoil either.
The more you wash the butter, the purer it becomes. If you don't wash it enough, it still has some of the milk cream in it, and it spoils easily.
No, my kids are dead.
Yeah. Praise God. Yes.
Question. That one verse, chapter 28 of Isaiah. I'll just read it, verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken.
Yeah.
It almost sounds like the bad thing that's going to happen.
No. I am used to thinking of that as people being slain in the Spirit. There were many people in the Pentecost who were knocked over. Peter was one of them. If you read the description of Pentecost, you'll see that Peter was knocked out. He was down, and the scripture said he got up and came to the 12. You see? And then he began to speak. So it is not impossible for the Holy Ghost to knock people down. But it's when you struggle against the Spirit that you get knocked down. There must be some resistance to the Spirit to get knocked down.
How about the part that says, because you have said you have made your covenant with death, you have held your agreement?
Yes, it means the... Yeah. Go ahead.
Is that as a result of...
But he said the covenant with hell will be disannulled. God, through the moving of the Holy Ghost, will deliver some people who had already decided for hell, will move upon them and deliver them. It's the power of the Holy Ghost you are talking about there. See, they said they had made an agreement with hell. But God came in and he disannulled the agreement between death that he had made with death and hell. And many of us have been taken like that. Praise God. Amen. Yes.
It's a small point, but I thought I'd ask it anyway. When you asked you talking about the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come, you know, saying it's not here yet.
Yes.
There is a scripture also, though, in Luke 17. Now, I think I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it says here, the kingdom of God comes not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.
The kingdom of God comes in to the human being in his spirit. When you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God comes into your spirit. But then it hasn't come fully in your soul area. Your soul is only touched. It's not taken completely, because your mind still operates as your own mind, your emotions, and you still do things wrong, you know, so that area of your being is not yet taken. So when you pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, you are saying, Lord God, as you work in the spirit, work so in my soul. And you're saying, Lord God, as you work in heaven up there, work on the earth out here. See, and the scripture said that the earth shall be filled with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea. So there's a time coming when God, the kingdom of God, shall overflow the whole earth and take over the whole earth. But it's going to overflow this earth first and take over this one first. And so we pray, thy kingdom come. Means in the area which it has not yet come.
No.
Yes.
I spend time reading in the Word each day, a fairly good time. But what can I do, that will benefit me most to grow a stable foundation? To the fullness, what can I do that maybe I'm missing now?
Well, pardon me. The Holy Spirit, if you submit to the Holy Spirit, if your heart is really tender toward God, you submit to the Holy Spirit will begin to show you things that are wrong in you. See, and the Holy Spirit will direct you to surrender those areas to Him, because a lot of the areas in our lives, we won't surrender. You see, I remember a time when I liked my temper. To me, my temper was a protection. You know, no man could push me too far.
No.
It was a protection. See, when God took away the protection from me, when I gave it up, I realized that I had protection in Jesus. See, there are some Christians that still have to walk with a gun to feel protected. See, and things like that. So, God will show you areas of your being. He may show you an area where you have fear. You see, and when you realize that you have fear, you go down to God and say, my God, remove this fear from me. You give the thing to Him. He takes it away. And He begins to deal with it. And sometimes He deals with fear by allowing the very thing that you fear to come upon you. You see, and so there's an area of doubt. See, somebody else have an area of doubt. And you go to God and say, Lord God, I have an area of doubt, but you'll never know that unless the Holy Ghost tells you. See what I mean? So this is what God wants you to do, that as you read the Word and allow the Spirit to move up on you, He will begin to show you areas where you need to get the evil out so that the good might come in. And this is how God fills the temple when you get it cleansed.
One thing now,
to
go along with that. How do I read the Word?
Well, I have a little tape on how to read the Word. But never just pick up the Bible and, all right. There's a bad way to read the Word, okay? I get up in the morning and I say, Lord God, I want a word from you. Sometimes, especially when you're in trouble, you say, Lord, I want a word from you. And you close your eyes and you stay. You see, well, unfortunately, let me see what I got here. Hallelujah. Wounds of sin. You see, my finger was on between two. Will be exposed. I say, oh God, I'm going to be exposed. You know what I mean? That is like witchcraft. that sometimes we can use the Bible like you use a book of faith, a witchcraft to tell you your fortune. We must never use the Bible like that. The Word of God, how you do it is that suppose a word comes to you. You start looking up that word. Looking it up. Say repentance. You know? You start looking up the scripture on repentance. And the scripture, all the scripture on repentance, and it will lead you from one to another. So that is what you call studying your Bible. When you finish studying, the Holy Ghost will reveal to you many things concerning repentance. You see what I mean? So you look up some, you hear a word, and you said you make a note of it, and you go home and study it and look it up. But some people just take the Bible and study, just read wildly. Now, when it comes to the stories, like Samson, like the judges and Joshua, you must be acquainted with that, the stories in the Bible. Because the stories carry spiritual meaning that will comfort in Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So, there is a good way to study the Bible and a bad way to study it. Yes?
Along that line, something I was taught that I found to be very true is if I were to read any other book, a novel or anything, I'd start at page one and I'd read the page to the end. I would never, although there is, you know, a value in reading. Somebody told me this, it's like dinner. When you sit down, you have your meat every day. But there's also some dessert and some in-between times and a little snack or something in the middle. But be sure to get your meal every day and go consistently, systematically through. I found that to be true. And lately, as I'm going through, the Lord, as he works in my life in a specific area, in that particular psalm that I'm reading or wherever I'm at, I'm in Psalms right now, as I've been going through consistently reading. It's helped me personally, but I don't know.
Well, I can agree and relate to that because, you know, personally, I wanted to see everything that it was saying when I started reading, you know. Pardon me. And I've read it through, you know, several times, up and down, go back over this to check up that, if that it said this, and so on. And so I'm fully well acquainted with all the words in the Bible. So I would advise anybody to try and read everything. I don't know if I say you must read it consecutively, because it's not consecutive. Nothing in the Bible is consecutive. Not even the Revelation is consecutive. You see, it's they give stories here and there and there and there and so on and so on. And some of the things are written before others, yet they are first in the book. So praise be to God. If you need to, you need to be acquainted with the Bible first of all.
I have started to make sure I read the whole.
Yes,
Bible.
And I give you a word for that. The Spirit says that the Lord will bring to your remembrance. Quote that scripture for me. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance. Now,
all things to remembrance which I have spoken.
No, it's anyhow. It says when you need it, the Holy Ghost will bring it to your remembrance. And the word remembrance means that you had already studied it. He cannot bring it to your remembrance if you did not read it before. So you enlarge the capacity to which the Holy Ghost can speak to you when you read the Bible through. And you don't even have to worry about remembering it, you know. Some people reading so carefully have to remember it. But God will bring it back to your remembrance when it's necessary. Yes. Praise God.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you.
Whatsoever I have said unto you. Yes, yeah, so, you know, I remember Jesus sitting down with me for 7 months and talking with me and showing me, talking to me, hours and hours every day. And I couldn't remember everything that he said. But it just turned right up as fresh as if he just said it. Sometimes in the middle of a meeting, the word just turned right back up, and I find myself repeating that. Never worried about him. Pardon. Praise God. Yeah.
First,
sisters, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. The holy virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And right here, before I had God is with us.
God is with us, yeah.
The two verses. And I don't even remember writing it down.
Oh, yeah. Praise God. Yes. You know, I met a Jewish rabbi.
When I was
in I met a Jewish rabbi, and I said to him, "Why can't you accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah?" You know, I say Yahshua HaMashiach. He said, "No, we cannot accept Yahshua HaMashiach because." The Bible said he would be called Emmanuel, and the scripture called him Yahshua. You ever see anything so childish? It said we would call him Emmanuel, and the scripture called him Yahshua. And the angel said, "You shall have a son, and his name shall be Yahshua." But the point is that it means the same thing, and the name is the nature. The nature is the name. And so the angel called the name by a nature. And the Jews said, "I won't accept him because of that."
Well, then, if I sit here and think and try to put a summary maybe on what you said this weekend, would be that it's time to really temporarily lay aside all of our heavy knowledge revelations and get back to the basics of really building a foundation of virtue and
making sure
that that's in order.
Bert can tell you that if a building, the superstructure, is too heavy for the foundation, it's coming down today or tomorrow. Someday it's going to come down. That foundation must be of a certain size before you can go up there. And what I have seen in other groups, in which we have been, people, their faith overthrown overnight. And the good Baptist brothers out there, their faith never got overthrown. And you wonder why this guy was pressing on with God. And oh, he was so diligent before God. And this Baptist fellow was taking his time. And he didn't have the foundation. But you see, he didn't build more than what he had. This one started climbing into knowledge. And you build a 2-foot foundation, you're going to put a 3-story house on it. It must come down. You see? And this is the whole story. That's why the scripture, line must be upon line. And precept upon precept.
Right.
Every law you must follow it straight, or else you're going to get in trouble.
That's right.
So that's the summary. Praise God. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He is my rock. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer.
I have 2 prayer requests that I want to bring for the group this evening. I should have one of them. Cody's